Joe Courtney, Democrat of Connecticut's 2nd District, congratulations on continuing in the job and doing what you're doing. But of course, you represent the shoreline, and a lot of people are concerned that the shoreline is disappearing due to global warming.
Yep.
True? Well,
if you talk to the insurance companies and the FEMA and, you know, people who are in the business of monitoring things like sea level and water temperature, I mean, they will tell you that a lot is changing out there. And, you know, we certainly saw it with the storms, the big storms a few years back, where erosion took place that, you know, the old timers and people who, you know, are kind of shoreline buffs have never seen before. And again, so as a result, it's changing the design and scope of floodplains, which, you know, has a ripple effect in terms of homeowners having to buy flood insurance. You know, the water temperature changes is changing the fishing stock in Long Island Sound. I mean, back in the day, they had a pretty abundant lobster catch in Rhode Island and Connecticut. It has dwindled down to really almost a shocking level. And I think for folks who are at NOAA and other places, I mean, what they're tracking is that the lobster are moving north because the water's too warm. And we're seeing actually other fishing stock that used to be off, you know, the Atlantic coast further down, just, you know, even like in North Carolina, that's now showing up in Long Island. So, you know, talk to the fishermen. I mean, it's happening in real time. And as a result, I mean, it's changing all these sort of questions about, you know, how you build structures near the coastline, and resiliency is now required post storms, which is a good thing. And as I said, it's also changing the insurance calculation. So for those who deny climate change, you know, you really should go visit a shoreline community, not just in Connecticut, but frankly, up and down the eastern seaboard, because, you know, you'll see it with your own eyes.
Well, I grew up on Fire Island, and I got to tell you, there's another inlet which we never saw before, going from the Atlantic to the Great South Bay. Let me ask you about the ACA, or the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. The Republicans keep saying, you know, nobody's going to lose their health care, which is different from their health insurance, but I'm wondering what you're seeing.
So, again, for the last 6 years, you know, we've had vote after vote to repeal the Affordable Care Act. Never once was there ever a coherent plan that was proposed in to substitute for it. So for a lot of us, you know, pardon me, you know, these claims that everyone's going to be, you know, happy and taken care of just makes no sense, because if that was really a viable option and plan, then we would have seen it a long time ago. And we all, I mean, just common sense tells you that. The scary thing is that, you know, back in those prior votes, everybody knew with a wink and a nod, they were pretend votes, because you had President Obama's veto pen to moot any of these votes. But now they're real. And we had a budget resolution go through that has now set up a process, as you know, that only requires 50 votes plus one in the Senate to in my opinion, butcher with the law. And, you know, what we're seeing in our office and a lot of other members is that a lot of people who are pretty quiet about their ACA coverage, who now know it's at risk, they are now calling the office. They're sharing these amazing stories, you know, cancer patients, people with chronic illness, you know, self-employed individuals. Had a farmer who emailed in that he would have to sell livestock or land at his farm if he had to go back and pay what he used to pay for insurance rates, 63 years old, him and his wife. And so I actually feel that, you know, we're really going to see this external pressure, which was on the mall on Saturday, also manifest itself with the ACA. And I am talking to some Republicans. You know, we do talk. And frankly, a lot of them got their ears boxed for that budget vote, you know, 10 days ago or 11 days ago. And I think lining up the votes behind a substitute plan is really going to be a lot harder than the president thinks. And in any case, I would encourage your listeners to make those calls into their member offices, by the way.
I want to ask you about something else. You opposed the waiver for so-called Mad Dog Mathis, General Mathis.
Yeah.
He's a guy who didn't like that term, Mad Dog, but I believe the president used it himself. As the defense secretary, why not give him a waiver even though he's a general and hasn't been out of office for long enough?
first of all, he's a great guy. He's been before our committee numerous times. If the majority had written a bill like the one that was written for George Marshall 67 years ago that specifically exempted George Marshall and also removed him under the jurisdiction of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, I think that that law would have sailed through. Unfortunately, they wrote a bill that did not refer to him by name, that really just weakened what I think is good policy, which is to you know, maintain to the greatest extent possible civilian control over the Department of Defense, and left him still subject to the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So the president could court-martial him for, you know, insubordination, you know, because of that fact that's hanging over his head. Retired generals are still subject to the code if they're collecting a pension, which he is. So, you know, the ends don't justify the means. And again, we were not voting on General Mattis per se. What we were doing was amending that law, which had not been touched in 67 years. And there's a right way to do it, and there's a wrong way to do it. And that was not the right way to do it.
Interesting. So I know we've been talking over the years about opioids. It's almost become a yawner, but it is a terrible, terrible scourge. Yeah. And I don't think anybody is taking it. Well, I know people like you are, but most people just are saying, oh, well, you know, that's somebody else's problem. Well, how do we deal with that?
Well, again, the president signed, you know, the big package there for opioids in December, which did, you know, pump about 500, I'm going to get the number right here. Anyway, pumped in a lot of money into the system, which, again, people who are in the business of helping, you know, treat addicts, you know, helping with Narcan, all that. I mean, basically, we're pleased with that initiative. But, you know, President Obama, on his way out the door talking about the ACA, reminded people that behavioral health also was provided a huge boost in the Affordable Care Act. That's a mandated minimum requirement in health plans. And for people who are in, you know, who are therapists and treaters, I mean, their comment was, it's great we passed this bill, which is, you know, going to increase research in terms of better, you know, ways to treat people, you know, better tracking in terms of overprescribing of painkillers, et cetera. But if you don't have, you know, health plans that people can get access to these new treatment options, modalities, well, then, you know, you're really kind of hitting the gas pedal and the brake at the same time. I mean, you're just really not allowing, you know, the full effort that we need to help all these people out there that, again, are from, it's from coast to coast. But New England got hard hit, as did, you know, upper state New York, you know, rural areas. It's, you know, it's a new reality for drug addiction from when you and I were a lot younger. And so, you know, that's one of those questions that just, again, circles right back to the ACA and why we really need to protect the basic structure of the ACA and hopefully get to a place where we can talk about improving it, not just blowing it up.
It's always wonderful to have Joe Courtney. You've been very kind. You've given us a lot of time over the last several days.
Well,
Joe Courtney is Democrat of Connecticut's 2nd District. And Joe, keep doing what you're doing, and we'll be
okay,
back.
Okay, my friend.
Thanks
All
so
right,
much.
Thanks, Alan.